The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Welcome to the Caddy Boy Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Fairways, and we are going to talk about how to improve your golf game one stroke at a time. Let's grab our clubs and head to the first tee. Welcome back for episode number 5 of the Caddy Boy Podcast. It is your host, Dr. Fairways. Thank you for tuning in. This episode is going to be a reflection on my last tournament, what I learned from it, and as well talking about the upcoming 2025 Masters. Let's dive right into it. So the Dominican Penguins hosted our spring event, the Dominican Spring Invitational, at the beautiful Sonoma Golf Club. And our team, I would say, underperformed as a collective. We came 4th out of 7, and the tournament was set up for us to succeed in terms of course setup and how Coach Josh Alt set up the golf course to be more scoreable and more playable, and really just for us to take advantage and to give us a really good start to the postseason, as our team is ranked 9th out of the possible 10 that can make it to regionals. And we underperformed as a team, which was heartbreaking, but also a big learning lesson for a lot of us. On the team, I can speak for myself and say that, you know, Sonoma Golf Club is one of my favorite courses to play just in general as a college golfer, but it can really come down to your decision making at that golf course in terms of approach. You know, those greens are some of the best in Sonoma County, if not the best, being really true, really firm, really fast. And in terms of pin locations, I knew exactly what they were going to be a week prior to the tournament, and I had had 2 to 3 rounds prior to teeing it up on the first day where I knew where to miss, where to play from, how to approach a lot of these greens. And I did myself a massive disservice going into this tournament by telling myself it was mine to lose, not anybody's to win. And it really just goes back to the expectation that you put on yourself as a competitor. I've noticed with a lot of self-reflection that I do my best and play my best when I go in with my process, knowing my abilities, knowing my capabilities, and just letting my game speak for itself. And it's something that I really felt like I shot myself in the foot with this week. Was I got there on Monday, ready to play 36 holes, and got paired up with a really good friend of mine. You know, and I had everything set up. My parents were there. I had friends show up. I had, you know, Dominican teachers and faculty showed up. And it was really just such a great day to have a great day. And I made it personal. And it's something I've talked about on this podcast, about how you have to detach yourself from the outcome and really just worry about process and your controllables. Coach Josh Alt talks a lot about controlling your controllables, and really outcome doesn't matter. And it's, you know, you can hear it, somebody can tell you exactly that, but it's if you want to put it into play is when it really matters. And I'm very disappointed in myself for doing that and for making it more than just my controllables and worrying heavily on outcome. And you know, that's one of the things about golf that I've mentioned time and time again, is it will humble the hell out of you. You know, I did not feel great going into this tournament in terms of my game and the position that it was in. I was missing off the tee a lot, which is normally one of my biggest strengths. And especially at this golf course, missing in the rough and in certain spots can be really penalizing. But it was just really tough knowing that I had an opportunity to really succeed in this tournament and not show up and not rise to the occasion. But I think it all really stemmed from not letting myself play freely and feeling like I had to perform and feeling like I had to show up, which is something that on this journey of becoming a professional is something I need to get really comfortable in, is just being okay with having a process. And if it fails, then it fails. And what did I learn from it? And if it goes great, then what did I learn from it going great? And it's something that I hope that my viewers can really relate to, is that, you know, we put such an expectation on ourselves to perform, and, you know, we want to have a great outcome, but the outcome is not controllable. The only thing that is controllable is my process, my routine, my approach to how I play rounds, and knowing that with my ability gives me certain holes and opportunities to score in. And it's the most humbling game in the world. It's the most frustrating and enjoyable and amazing and annoying game that could ever exist. But luckily for me, I have an incredible support system at home, great teammates, great coaches that truly believe in me. And, you know, even my game not being as great as I wanted it to be, I still walked away with a T6 for the tournament, shooting one over for three rounds, or two over for three rounds. And, you know, I can really only take positives out of it. You know, I could have walked away and been really upset with shooting myself in the foot, but I walked away knowing exactly what I did wrong and what I can go improve on going into our next tournament, which is Stanislaus's event at Turlock, which is a course I'm, again, comfortable at and know well enough that I can, if I can control my process and keep myself under my own microscope, then I should do just fine. Transitioning from there, I'd love to talk about the Masters coming up. We have last year's champion, Rory McIlroy, who we discussed in the last podcast, is coming back defending for the first time. And, you know, for those golf fans out there, you know that it was such a burden for him for 17 years trying to finish his career Grand Slam. And this is the first time he's come back. And he said in the media that it's completely different coming back as a champion with those weights lifted off his shoulders. You know, he showed up Saturday or Sunday and had that round with his dad, as the champions get to do. They get to bring out a guest and play Augusta with their guests. And it was really cool just to see Rory come back as a champion, playing with his dad, you know, just getting to have that experience. And as a lifelong Rory fan, it's one of the coolest things to see. But the course itself is, you know, it's a piece of history. It's the only major that doesn't change locations every year. And we know every year that Augusta is just the hallmark of great, you know, course design, course condition. It's one of the most beautiful, sought after rounds of golf in the U.S., if not the most. And the cool thing about the Masters is there's very rarely a repeat champion. And, you know, it'd be really cool to see Rory win it this year. But, you know, the looming question is, does Rory come back with fire? You know, he's done what every golfer is set out to do. He came and won the Grand Slam. And the question really is this week is, has he plateaued? Is he content with everything he's completed in his career? Or does he want to fight? He spoke in the media on Tuesday saying that, you know, he thought his whole career that his destination was the career Grand Slam, and then he got there and realized it wasn't. But we'll see. You know, he comes into this week with a little less pressure, obviously, now completing it. But I'm curious to see as a fan if his fight is still there. And another topic of conversation always has to be Scottie Scheffler, two-time Masters champion, 22 and 24. It's incredible what he's done in the game, but, you know, his last couple tournaments have been less than stellar for him, but above average for any other tour pro, which really just speaks to his level of skill, because Scotty is such a force when he's on, and even when he's off, it's still, he's top 20 and still in the conversation for a tournament. So I'm very excited to see what Scotty brings to this week, you know, having a newborn kid, that's being his second kid. And, you know, I'm curious to see if his focus and his determination is still there, or if he's kind of just starting to warm up to this being the first major of the year and kind of the start of the season. Another name that can never be thrown out is Bryson DeChambeau. He's always a topic in conversation. going into majors. He's been playing really well over at LIV. He came top five last year and was in the final group with Rory. I believe he was one back going into the last round and didn't play his best, but Bryson is a gamer. He loves the bright lights and the big occasions, and he's always so fun to watch just get into that spotlight, and he really never disappoints. So I'd really love to see him make a run. As much as I'm not a LIV golf fan, he is one hell of a competitor. I'd, you know, my sneaky picks are Jordan Spieth. He's been playing really, really well, and everybody knows that he loves Augusta, and you know, I would just love to see his putter get hot. I think that's where his game is at, really. I think everything from tee to green looks really good besides his putter. So if that little Scotty Cameron blade can get hot this week, you never know about him. John Rahm has been playing tremendous over at LIV. I'd love to see him pick up another jacket. Justin Rose is one of my favorite players in terms of golf swing, as well as Tommy Fleetwood, two Europeans who I would love to see win. What's so great about the Masters is, as I mentioned before, there's never really a repeat champion. It's really hard to not only win a major, but to defend it. And with this week, you know, not having anybody be truly dominant leading into this event, it's really anybody's for the taking. You know, Matt Fitzpatrick just won in Florida. I believe it was the Valspar. His game's looking really sharp. I mean, there's just so many names, but you know, there is really no better feeling than Masters Week coming around the corner. Unfortunately, I'll be playing the practice round for our next event on Sunday, so I won't get to tune in as much as I would like to, but I will definitely keep track and look, because the Masters is, in my opinion, the greatest golf event besides the Ryder Cup. And you know, it really, as a collegiate player and a future professional, I really just love to watch these guys and how they handle the same course. You know, they say that experience is really a big factor at Augusta because of how undulated and how interesting the way the course is designed. But, you know, we saw Sam Bennett a couple years back, the amateur, come top 20 in his first time ever really seeing the course. So it really is anyone's game, and I can't wait to see it. See how it plays out this week. But you know, the Masters just brings such a visceral feeling of attachment to the game. You know, a tournament with that much history and tradition, it really just speaks to how much history this game has, and it lets you kind of just disappear into the world of the Masters for a couple of days. And It truly is why I play golf. I remember watching Tiger win the Masters in 2005. I remember watching Jordan Spieth win it in 2015. I remember Bubba's shot out of the woods on 10 in the playoff. I mean, there's just so many historical moments at that golf course, and hopefully we get some more of those this week. So that's going to be it for the Caddy Boy podcast for today. Next week, we're going to have special guest Josh Ault come on, and as well as one of my teammates. I won't tell you who yet. You're going to have to tune in to find out. But we're going to pick their brain on the golf game, and maybe they can give you guys some tips on how to improve. And just going to talk about what they've learned and their experiences. And I can't wait to share that with you guys. So thank you so much for tuning in. This has been the Caddy Boy Podcast, episode number 5. We will see you next week.